I can be a hero. And yes, jumping right to it. And since I can be, I should be. Let's write that down. We've been saying that all month. I can be a hero. And since I can be, I should be. We can be heroes. We really can. And since we can be, we should be heroes. We can feel like heroes. And since we can feel like heroes, we should feel like heroes. I can think like a hero. As difficult as it may be, I can do it. And since I can think like a hero, I should think like a hero. You are a hero. Feel like a hero. Think like a hero. And now it's time to put it into practice. Act like a hero. We started this series off by asking the question, if my life were a book or a movie, would people want to read or watch it? We talked about how stories have heroes. And the reason why stories have heroes is simply because there's some purpose to the story. There's some meaning. There's something to be accomplished. There's a goal. There's a finish line. There's an ending in mind. And that's what the hero's purpose is to get to that ending. And that ending is defined by an author. So as you're looking at your story, ask yourself, who's the author in my life? Because that's who ultimately defines meaning and purpose in your story. Who's the author of your life? Who is it? Is it you? Is it someone else? Or is it maybe God? In college, I took every literature class that I could fit into my schedule. I really don't like to read, which is kind of funny. But I like to have read. I like to just dissect literature. I like to understand the characters and the symbols and the meaning and digging deep into those things. And so through all these literature classes, lit class after lit class, I had lit theory after lit theory. And through the lit theory, I learned that a good author will begin with the end already planned out. They already know how the story is going to end. And the end then defines the purpose of the story. And the hero is defined by this end and purpose. Because it's his job or her job as the hero to meet this challenge. That's the hero's purpose. And it's the end of the story that gives the hero his purpose. So when we ask ourselves this question, who's the author of my story? We need to consider this piece as we contemplate that. If my story is going to have a specific purpose, then there has to be a defined ending. So if I'm here at point A, and point B is over there, then point B defines the purpose of my life. The story of my life is the journey from point A to point B. So I have to ask myself then, if I'm going to be author of my own life, do I know the end of my story? I mean, I can set goals, I can have ambition, I can set up for myself an imagined point B, and I can shoot for it, but do I really know the end of my story? No. I probably wouldn't be the best author for my life then. What about someone else? Because other people can have very objective views on your life. And that might give them the ability, the edge, to be able to say, hey, you know what? You do really good here. I've been watching you, and you've got gifts and talents, and this is a place where you could probably really do some good for people around you. Someone around you, like a teacher or a coach, a parent, a friend, a coworker, a boss, maybe they've had this objective influence on your life. But if they don't know the end of your story, then how can they truly know the purpose and meaning that you were created for? They can't. But what about God? Does God know the end of my story? God doesn't just know it, He wrote it. There's a churchy word that captures this idea, and it's a hot topic among theologians. There are many debates and many theories over this churchy word. And this churchy word is predestined. You guys ever heard that? Okay, hot topic. Just how much has God predestined for our life? Let's look at a couple passages. In fact, the two major passages in the New Testament where this word shows up, Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 1. Romans chapter 8 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." So this verse says that there are some people, those people, whoever that those people are, they're chosen. They are predestined to be turned into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Those people are called, those people are justified, and those people are glorified. So I want you to file that away just for a half a minute. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, because it says very similar things. Ephesians chapter 1, the word actually shows up in two different places. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "For he chose us in him," that is in Christ, "before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ." Skipping on down to verse 11, it shows up again. It says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." So this idea of predestination, according to what the Ephesians verse is that we just read, it is God that chose before the creation of the world that we, whoever the we is referring to in that verse, would be adopted as sons. And that those who were chosen, they were so chosen as a part of God's plan and a part of God's divine will. Combining that with what we looked at from the Romans passage, it's very similar, that it was God who chose those who would be called, those who would be justified, those who would be glorified. God chose who would be transformed into the likeness of his very Son, Jesus Christ. So who are these chosen ones? A lot of blank looks. It's everyone. It's all of us. We're all the we. At the beginning of the month, in our January Acts message, in Acts chapter 2, Peter says that the promise of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness of your sins is available for who? Does anyone remember? Three-letter word. All. This promise is for everyone. It's for all. So if the promise is for all, then all are saved, right? Not exactly, right? Doesn't work out that way. Why? Because some don't choose to respond to God's plan for their life. They choose not to respond. Catch that. It's God's desire for all to be saved. That's how God designed his plan. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to die outside of him. His plan is designed for all. It is designed to save all, but not all will respond to his plan. All can, because Jesus' blood paid for all sins. Jesus died for all people. All can. All have the chance, but not all will. See, God chose everyone, but not everyone will choose him back. Does this make sense? So in this understanding, let me help you define this word and this concept of predestination. Listen up and listen carefully. God has predestined all people, but not everyone will receive the destiny that God has prearranged for them because they will simply choose their own path. See, God has a plan for you. He has a plan for each and every one of you. And it starts with salvation. But that's just the beginning. He has a very specific plan for you. God has a story predestined for you to live out. And it's a story of work and achievement. A lot of us, we view work in a very negative way, but this is good work. We like achievement. We like work that leads to achievement. Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." We've got that verse down pat, I think. We will quote that all day long. It's by grace, it's through faith, it's not by works, right? You've heard me preach it. I've heard you say it. What we fail to do is connect 8 and 9 to verse 10. Continue reading with me. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." That's the process of becoming a Christian, to be made into the likeness of Jesus, in which all were chosen to be made into the likeness of Jesus. We all have that chance. But those who have chosen Christ, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to what? Do good works. We were chosen to do good works, which, catch this, which God did what? He prepared in advance for us to do. We have been saved for a purpose. We have been saved by grace through faith for more than just a Holy Ghost inside and a ticket to heaven in our hand. Each of us are saved to be His workmanship, to do good works, which He has prepared in advance for us to do. Not only has God predestined us to be saved, and it's your choice to choose that destiny, but it goes further than that. God has a specific, adventurous story written especially for you. He has a story predestined for you to live out. But a lot of us miss our story because we're hung up on this word work. We're hung up on the concept we don't want to be seen as earning our salvation or working for our salvation. We so badly want to communicate that we're not saved by works, but in the process, we have communicated that the saved don't work. We cannot teach one verse and ignore the verse that follows right after. Out of a desire to communicate that we are not saved by works, church, we cannot divorce works from faith. We cannot divorce works from faith. The two are one. Your faith in God opens the door to His story that He has prepared in advance for you. And it involves action. It involves work. It involves accomplishment. James, in a passage that you're probably expecting, he says, "Faith by itself is not, if not accompanied by action, is what? It's dead." But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do." Faith and works go hand in hand. Let me give you, I want to say, an alternate definition of faith, but it's not a different definition. It's a different way of wording the same definition you've heard. Yes? Faith is simply accepting God's unique story, specially tailored for you. Faith is simply accepting God's unique story, specially tailored for you. God has a unique story waiting for you, and you are designed to be the hero. He wants to lift you up to be the hero, but the only way to experience that story is to humble yourself and accept God's authorship of your life. This humble trust is what Christians call faith. And the story God has for you will involve action, it will involve works, it will involve deeds, it will involve challenges, assignments, it will involve movement, it will involve results. And this is consistent throughout our Bible. God had a story written for Noah. All Noah had to do was humble himself enough to allow God to be the author of his life, and he had the story of a lifetime because he let God author his life. God had in mind the story for his life. Noah had a choice. Abraham, God had a story written for Abraham, already predestined for Abraham to fall into. Abraham had the choice, and all he had to do was humble himself enough to allow God authorship of his life, and he joined in that story, and it was an amazing story. God had a story for Joseph, for Moses, for Isaiah, for Nehemiah, for Hosea, for King David, for Samson, you can just go on and on and on and on. You can go to Hebrews 11 and see a huge list of people in the Old Testament who lived by faith. And it was through faith that they experienced the story that God had predestined for them, specifically for them. And this doesn't end in the Old Testament. This carries on into the New Testament. Jesus changes Simon's name to what? Peter. What does Peter mean? Rock. A rock. So he was the original. The rock. He did this because he had a reason. It wasn't just, hey, this is a cool name, I'll call you the rock. You know, because you got a hard head. No. He had a plan in mind for Peter. A predestined story for Peter to fall into. A predefined destiny. A story already written for Peter. And he changed his name to The Rock because he said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. But it was still Peter's choice to choose God's pre-written story for his life or choose his own story. And we see Peter struggle in the Gospels with that. Choose my story. Choose God's story. Choose my story. Thankfully, he chose God's story for his life. And look what happened to him. Paul was chosen to be a light to the Gentiles. We're told that multiple times in the book of Acts. That was God's plan for Paul. He took a specific person, and he already had a plan lined out for him. A predestined story. Here's what I want you to be for me, Paul. I want you to be a light for the Gentiles. God wrote a story specifically tailored for him. And all he had to do was humble himself and allow God's authorship over his life. See, in every one of these stories, they involve faith and actions, faith and works, faith and deeds. There was purpose, there was movement, and there were results. Jesus is constantly moving or he's constantly active, working and active in the kingdom. Following him and standing still cannot happen simultaneously. It can't happen. Follow the laws of logic. If Jesus is moving and you're standing still, you cannot claim that you're following him. It just can't happen. Are you with me? All right, I'm laying a lot of stuff out there. But it's obtainable. Understandable. I'm pretty driven because I'm excited about it. Jesus called followers, not fans. In May and June, we're going to be doing a 2-month series that's going to be outlined out of this book called Not a Fan. A great book from what I've been told. I haven't gotten a chance to really dig into it myself. But the concept, the understanding of it is that Jesus wants followers, not fans. And we have a lot of fans of Jesus in America. We need to turn into followers. In a passage of that book that refers to this topic of faith and actions, he shares that faith should have a story attached to it. I like that quote. It's real simple. You cannot divorce faith and works, faith and deeds, faith and action. When you do divorce those two things, there's no story to be had. There's no story attached to your faith. Let me ask you a question, a little pop quiz. What is the title of the fifth book of the New Testament? Acts? It's not faith? The faith of the apostles, isn't that what it's about? The belief of the apostles. The teaching, because they did a lot of teaching, isn't it? The teaching of the apostles. The miracles of the apostles. The love? It's the love of the apostles? I mean, that's the core of Christianity. No, it was Acts, wasn't it? You catch that? We're ashamed of our works and our acts, and one of the books that started the church, was called the works, the acts. The acts of the apostles, the actions. I want you to take that. I gave you a big old space in your bullet, and I want you to write that big letters, all caps, acts. So I want us to catch that. Because They acted and it was recorded and we read about it and we're excited about it. I get excited when I read the book of Acts. Obviously, I've read the books of Acts recently. The Acts of the Apostles, they are recorded and we celebrate them. We are excited about them. It energizes us. When did that stop? When did that change? When did we stop celebrating the Acts of the church? I think it's when we started worrying about people thinking that we were being saved by works. See, it's not works-based salvation when you celebrate Acts. When you celebrate Acts, you're celebrating that faith is being revealed through the things that we do. We can be the church. We can be. We absolutely can be. But you won't be if you don't act like the church. The church acts. That's what it does. That's what you were made for. It's a natural progression of your faith. So I'm going to challenge you this year to do just that, to put your faith into action, to act. We're going to call it the Acts Challenge. And that kind of goes both ways. You see it? It's like Acts because we're studying the book of Acts all year. So it's the Acts Challenge, but it's also our Acts because really Acts didn't end. Acts just stopped because they didn't have any more to write about because it hadn't happened yet. We are the continuation of the book of Acts. 2,000 years later. So here's how it's going to work. Here's how the Acts Challenge is going to work. At the end of every month, you're going to get a set of Acts challenges. Then the church is going to go to work. Yes, I said work. The church gets out of the pew and it gets active, meeting those challenges. And then we have this board, and this board is inspired by the book of Acts. By the idea that in the book of Acts, acts of Christians were recorded to celebrate, to energize, to encourage. This board will serve as a visual encouragement to the whole church. Now I want to ask of you, I need you to lend me your ears and your trust. I believe most of you trust me, but we're kind of venturing out in some different areas here. What I want to do is I want to give you a boom, boom, boom outline version of it. Real simple. Then what we're going to do is we're going to go back and look at it in a little more detail. So if something doesn't sound right or you don't quite understand it, then please be patient. We're going to go back through it. We're going to look at it in detail. And I understand that this is a very different approach. And I'm just crazy enough to try different things as long as they don't contradict Scripture. And I believe you're crazy enough to follow me. I think that's why God gave this to Miami Town Church of Christ. He's going to do something with this little church. So the process is simple. Step one, you choose a challenge to complete. Step two, you complete the challenge. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Step three, you report the completed act or challenge. Step four, a badge is placed on the board representing that someone, note that, someone completed that act's challenge. There will be no names on the badges. Let me repeat that because some of you have shut your ears off thinking, oh, this is works-based. It is absolutely works-based. It's not works-based salvation. I'm saved by grace. But someone that's living by faith should be working. So yeah, you want to call it works-based? That's fair. There will be no names on the badges. So let's go back. Choose a challenge. Step one. At the end of every month, there will be a list of challenges given. And that sheet looks like this. All right, I'm going to pull those out, your little yellow sheets there, your Acts challenge sheet. At the end of each month, you're going to get this list of challenges. The list will be based off of the messages and the theme for that month. This month was on heroes. So the challenges reflect the messages of this month. If you go down to H2, pen and paper is the title of that one. It is directly connected to the first message of the series called We Can Be Heroes. H3, smile, it is directly connected to the second message, feel like a hero. H4, think like Jesus, is directly connected to the message last week, which was, what was it? What was last week's message? Think like a hero, yes. Then H5, all in one, it supports our year-long study in the book of Acts. Then you go back up to H1. H1 deals directly with today's message, and that is act like a hero. Next month is on prayer, and there are only 3 challenges next month. So you got 5 this month, 3 next month, and this will continue on through the year. So that's step one. You pick one of those challenges, and then step two is you do it. You complete it. I do want to share right here, you don't just pick one of the 5 and do it. The goal is to do all 5 of them. But let's just do one at a time. You know, don't overwhelm yourself. If you can get a couple in a week, then that's awesome. There's 5 challenges. Double up 1 week, you'll be able to get them all done in a month. You complete the challenge. You simply do the challenge. Each challenge has a clear description, and they will have various difficulty levels. But every one of these challenges this year will be absolutely doable. They will be very realistic that you will be able to do that challenge. And since new challenges will be presented every month, it is suggested that you go on and get all of those challenges completed that month. If you don't, though, once the challenge is presented, once it's given, it's active for the whole year. So if you only get 4 done this month, then you can get the other one done the next month, or you can get the other one done in October, or whenever. The challenge is still wide open once it's issued, once it's put out there. Does that make... Are you guys following me on this? Okay. Try to make it very clear. I want to be crystal. So, new challenges. There we go. Step 3. Report the challenge. There will be 2 different ways to report your challenge. A completed challenge. You can go online and fill out the online form that will be on there. Or starting next week, we'll have a spot in the tear-off portion where you'll be able to fill out, and we'll just have a little line there. I completed, and then there'll be a blank. And this is where the little codes there are for, the H1, H2, H3, H4. What do you think H stands for? Great job. Okay, so it's the Hero Series, Challenge 1, Challenge 2, so H1. So next month is on prayer, so we're going to have P1, P2, P3. Okay, so and that's it's just that simple. You report it that way. Now, as I stated earlier, there will be no names on the badges. However, to make sure that we have an accurate picture of the acts of our church, we will need to keep some sort of record. Because it would be easy to get down the road and repeat a challenge and turn it in, and then it would kind of falsify the appearance that we're looking for. We want an accurate understanding. Some kid could get on the internet and think, oh, it's funny to type in and, you know, say that I did all these challenges. Well, but if we've got a record and we're keeping track of that, then we can say, okay, yeah, this isn't legitimate. We want this to be accurate. We want to be able to celebrate this, and we want to know that it's true and that it's real. So your name will be attached to it, but once it makes it to that record will be private. Your name will be anonymous. There will be no names on the badges. Is that clear? Does it make sense? Why? Yes? Okay, good. Step 4. The badge is placed on the board representing that someone completed the Acts challenge. The badges will be placed to represent that an individual met that challenge. It will be placed on the board for that month's challenge. Each month, we're going to have a new board. So this board right here, right now, it has a sample for you. This is going to be our January board. But the sample here, we have 80 Christmas trees. Because in December, we had the Christmas Care and Share and the Angel Tree. You guys remember that? Okay. 80 Christmas trees represent either a person or a family that took an angel tree, a little booty, or the... gave money to the Christmas baskets or the wrap the presents or help pass them out. Anybody that was involved in that, the trees represent those. Now, for this particular example, some of those trees represent a whole family. Like I grabbed the little, you know, stocking or booty off the tree, and all 4 of my family members, we were active and involved in that, but only 1 tree represents that. That's not going to be the case with the other challenges. You are individuals in the church working as a big church. And husband and wife, if you do it together, turn it in separate. Yes? Okay. But I wanted to give you guys, the team wanted to give you guys a picture of what it looks like, of what these badges are going to look like. And those are from December. I would love to cover those up. No offense, I mean, you can cover my Christmas tree up. One of those is mine. one of them is yours and whatever. I want to cover those up. I want to get so many January badges that we can't see the Christmas trees underneath them. In fact, it'd be really cool if we went three deep, wouldn't it? I think we can do it. I know we can do it. So how is this going to be useful? Reporting and displaying completed challenges, it provides a number of positive things for the church. First of all, there's some accountability. There's some accountability involved to actually doing a challenge. When you have a chance to report something, then there's a little more accountability. Because I know a lot of you, you'll sit in here on a Sunday morning, you'll think, oh, that's a good idea. I ought to go do that. And then come Monday morning, you don't do it. You forget about it. You get back in church the next Sunday, you're like, oh, I meant to do that. Yes? Okay, we've got an accountability thing now where, okay, I got this, I'm going to turn it in when I'm done. And guys, and especially guys, we like that stuff, don't we? We like a goal. Give me something to shoot at. Give me a target. You know? We like that. So it gives some accountability. So there's a better chance that the action will be done. Completed challenges will also bring unity to our efforts. So like, say I went through a whole day and I plan to do H3, which was a smile one. And the idea is that you're going to try and go through a whole day smiling because Jesus is your source of joy, your source of self-image. So there's meaning behind it. You're not just being cheesy. And I'm going to wake up with a smile. So I wake up with a smile. When I greet people, I greet them with a smile. When I talk to them on the phone, I talk to them with a smile. When I send an email, I send an email with a smile. And when I lay down to go to bed that night, I lay down to go to bed that night and I try to smile myself to sleep. I did that challenge. Okay, so I did that challenge, and I turn that in, and I fill it out, or I go on the web, and I type it in, H3, did it. Then the next Sunday, there's 15 badges on there that represent H3. I'm not alone. I am achieving things and moving forward and acting with fellow Christians. Because I think that's a problem that happens in the church, is sometimes we do things, and we feel like we're the only one that's doing it. We kind of get the Elijah complex, you know? I'm the only one that's trying. I'm the only one. And that's very discouraging. I want this to be encouraging. So when you see 14 other people, they did it with you, and you don't even know who they are, but you know they're right here sitting beside you, I think that's exciting. That's energizing. I think as we see the walls filled with badges and these boards, because at the end of the year, as these boards come down and they go on the side walls, by December, we're going to have 10 boards on the side walls and one board up here on stage. And if those boards are filled with these badges, we as a church can look at that and say, look what God did through his people because his people were willing to let him use them. We humbled ourselves to allow him to present his story to us. That's going to be exciting because when I read the book of Acts, that excites me. And that's one of the things when I was looking at the book of Acts. Why can't we do that today? Because that's all it is. They recorded what they did. Here's what the Christians did. And we read it and we get jazzed about it. And we get excited about it, but we think, wow, that was 2,000 years ago. That doesn't happen today. No, these boards are going to prove it does happen today. But it's up to you. It's up to you to choose to participate. In doing these challenges, you might try something new. One of these challenges, I mean, they're meant to be all over the place. And you might try something to do a challenge because you're like, okay, I want to get all the badges this year. Maybe that's your goal. You know, I'm going to get them all. That's awesome. And one of the challenges is something way out there, something you never would have tried, and you do it, and you think, man, that felt good. That fits me. That fits my gifts. That fits my personality. You might find more of the story that God has planned for your life by doing these challenges. Wouldn't that be exciting? I told you at the beginning of the year that I want to do all I can this year to develop in you the confidence that you can say, I can be the church. I can be. We can be the church. I believe you can be. And as we watch these badges fill these boards and we celebrate our church in action, then we will see as these challenges are being reported week after week after week, we will represent a church of action. We will be a church that has remarried faith and deeds as they should be. We will be a church of Christians who actively follow Jesus. Because genuine faith results in genuine acts of faith. we can be heroes. And since we can be heroes, we should be.